Good morning and aloha. Welcome to our first Facebook live streaming church service, a virtual service from my condo and my office. I'm glad you've joined me today, and I hope that you will fully enter into our worship service today as best we can when we're scattered. This will be unique. You may feel awkward while you're in your home trying to follow along and say words by yourself, but just let all that go. Be still, be present, and know that God is with us and that God is here. I want you to know that this is live, so anything can happen. My little makeshift tripod may fall over. My doggies, Will and Grace, may chime in with their canine amens every now and then. The noises of the building may interrupt us, but that's fine. Spirit is here, and Spirit is guiding us as we worship together today. I hope that this is a wonderful experience for you as we join together and worship together the God who knows no restrictions but is in our heart. I'd like to begin today, as we've done in the past couple of weeks, with a centering practice that may help you just to be still. So for the next few moments, just be quiet. And as you hear the song, Sign of the Gong, close your eyes and take a deep breath, breathing in deeply for four counts, holding for four, and then exhaling for four. And holding for four. Do that again on your own. Breathe deeply. Breathe in the love of God, that aloha, that gift. And exhale that same energy into our world that needs healing and grace today. Do it one more time, breathing in, expanding your lungs, and filling it with what God wants to give you, what you need today. What healing, what comfort, what gift. And then exhale it to the universe, offering your gift. Let's just be in silence for the next moment or two. If you're near the ocean, you may hear the waves. Let her speak to you. If you're near the window, you may hear birds. Let them call your name. If you're with a loved one, you may want to hold hands. No. Presence of God. As you hear the bowl again, open your eyes. And come into the presence of this place. As we lift this service to Holy God, who is our guide, who is our teacher, who is the spirit of all comfort and grace, be with us and guide us as we worship together today, we ask in your holy name. Amen. One of the important practices and traditions of our church is to recite each week our mission statement. So I hope you have that printed out for yourself or on your tablet, as was sent to you before we went on the air today. Get that in front of you today, and we'll say it together. I want you to say it nice and loud so you don't have to listen to my Hawaiian language skills, because they're not quite as sharp as they should be yet. But let's say it together, and remember as we say it that this is our centering, this is our gathering, this is what keeps us together, whether we are one in one place or scattered. Say that with me in Hawaiian, and then we'll read it together in English. Ho akumu ya ka iklesia o ke avalai. Iko maku maukapuna. Ikupa a ma hope o ke aloha o ke akua. Mai kekahi hanauna a kekahi hanauna aku. O mako no humana o Jesu Christo. I hea hea akula mi ke aloha. I na lahui a pau i ko maku humana. Laue laue i na lahui a pau i ko ke avalai. Ma a ka pilini lina uhane o ke kaaulu akea. I ho olokahi i a ka o omana kalikiano. Me ka mo o hume hiu Hawaii. Keawalai Congregational Church, founded by our kapuna, is committed to sharing God's aloha from generation to generation. As humana of Jesus Christ, we welcome all, love all, and accept all into our ohana. Keawalai ministers to all through the spiritual gifts we share as a diverse community, uniting our Christian faith and Hawaiian heritage. Our scripture reading today comes from John, the 11th chapter. If you have your Bibles or you have your printout, I encourage you to pick that up and read it along with me. It is a long passage, but it's an important one of Jesus ministering to friends in need. Hear these words as they are recorded in the Gospel of John. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Martha, her sister. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils, then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one who you love so very much is sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not final. It's not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. After 2 days, he says to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble, because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble, because he can't see where he's going." He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along, we may as well die with him." When Jesus got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away. And many of the Jews were visiting Mary and Martha, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, "Master, if you had been here, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask, God will give you." Martha replied, "Your brother will be raised up. You don't have to wait to the end. I am, right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me does not ultimately die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Master. All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." After saying this, she went to her sister, Mary, and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here and asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, "Master, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews were sobbing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he said, "Where did you put him?" "Master, come and see," they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, "Look how deeply he loved him." Others among him said, "Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man." Then Jesus, the anger welling up within him once again, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. And he said, "Remove the stone." The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others he said, "Take away, that way the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know that you always listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I have spoken so that you might believe that you sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out, a cadaver, wrapped from head to toe, and with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." Here ends the reading of God's holy word for this day. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. As you listen to this story from the Gospel of John, I wonder what was going through your mind. Were you like some who maybe thought, "Wow, this guy is amazing. He can raise the dead. This is quite a savior we follow." Or did your 21st century perspective skew it just a little bit, saying, "I don't know, I believe in Jesus. I try and follow him, but raising the dead, I'm not sure how that's even possible. Whenever I read stories like this, ones that even I as a pastor have a difficult time getting my head around, I remember a phrase that a favorite biblical scholar of mine, Marcus Borg, used to say when he was teaching biblical stories that were unbelievable to people in our day and age. Borrowing a prefatory phrase used by Native American storytellers, Borg would often say this: I don't know whether this actually happened or not, but I know that it's true. Listen to that one more time. I don't know whether or not this actually happened, but I know that it's true. Do you catch the important nuance in that phrase? Just as the Native American storytellers would use those words, we can hear them today as we apply it to Scripture. I don't know whether or not it actually happened, but I know it's true. If we get stuck in the facts, if we get stuck in the details and specifics, we may miss the deeper part of what's going on, the deeper meaning. The meaning and the gift that God may have for us to teach us today. I was on the phone with friend Jimmy Arana yesterday, and we were talking about my poor Hawaiian language skills, and he was trying to correct me on some, and we started talking about the scriptures for today, and he said that the deeper meaning in Hawaiian is called the kauna, K-A-U-N-A. It's the hidden meaning. It's what's beneath the surface that God is trying to give to us. So I invite you to join with me today as we allow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to reveal the deeper truth, the kona of this story. What might God be trying to communicate to us today as we experience this whole story very differently than they did in the first century? As we experience life very differently than even we did 1 week ago. The setting provides an important backdrop. Jesus, nearing the end of his life, was making his way back to Judea, much to the chagrin of the disciples. They knew he was in trouble. They were not happy. Everything that Jesus did was really ticking off the Jewish leaders and religious people. Each healing, each miracle, each teaching was alienating him more and more from his own religion. And they knew that Jesus' life was in danger, as was their own. Yet it was his decision to even delay going back to Bethany that puzzled them even more. Apparently, Lazarus was dying. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, sent word to Jesus, imploring him to come as quickly as possible. But Jesus delayed. They must have believed that he could do something, heal Lazarus, or provide him the comfort that he would need in his last days and hours. Because they both said after the fact, "If only you had been here. If only you had been here." It was a pretty direct way of accusing Jesus that he was responsible for Lazarus's death. It doesn't seem fair, does it? But before we get too judgmental and self-righteous-y in that thinking, consider what's going on today and perhaps how we may have responded similarly. When bad things happen, we more often than not want to find a reason, a source, a cause for that which is going wrong. Consider, for example, the way some have tried to accuse the Chinese for the viral pandemic which we are all experiencing. An accusation which is completely out of line and certainly doesn't help matters, but I think you get understanding of the need to find a reason or a cause. But notice Jesus' reaction. one of the underlying gifts of this story, as we catch a glimpse of his humanity, is that we're not very different from him. He doesn't simply dismiss the accusations as if they have no effect on him. He gets angry. And then he weeps. That's important, because these emotions are ones that we can all relate to, especially at this time. It's difficult to go through what we're going through. It's hard, and we're all experiencing a plethora of emotions right now. The stress is incredible, and the fears are understandable. And the responses, while sometimes difficult to understand, are very human and in need of space and grace. Whether you're on the giving or the receiving end. So as your pastor, I want you to remind each one of you right now, be gentle with one another as we walk through this. Be kind to each other. Live and be aloha for one another, always, but particularly now at this time. Difficult decisions are being made by each one of us on a daily basis. My goodness, the decision just to get in your car and go to the market these days requires energy, increased caution, and some well-grounded fear. So take time each day to pause and to breathe, just as we did at the beginning of our service together, to seek holy presence, God's comfort to surround you as we walk through this challenge and as we walk through this time of great difficulty. But look deeper into the story and notice its gift. The metaphor, the kona, the hidden and deeper meaning of truth, it's right there. It didn't escape my attention as I reread it this week that Lazarus was sealed in his tomb for at least 4 days. And a big deal was made over how much he would stink after that amount of time being dead. But what struck me is, well, it's not quite the same. With these stay-at-home orders and reminders to be isolated from one another, it may at times feel tomb-like. Thank goodness for telephones and Zoom and FaceTime and little private walks on the beach. The isolation may not exactly be tomb-like, but it can feel pretty restraining and pretty isolated, especially for those who don't have the benefit of that technology, especially for those who are longing to be with loved ones in the hospital, or with those who have died and they can't gather as Ohana to grieve. If you are there in that situation, you know the realness of a tomb. But listen to Jesus' words. They are words of hope. He said, come out, unwrap him, let him loose, be set free. It's the next big kona of the story. We're not ready for that just yet. And we may not even be ready on April the 30th, but it will eventually happen. Resurrection will occur. Freedom is coming. Freedom will be ours, and we'll be together again in worship and in fellowship, enjoying the love that we have for one another, probably in deeper ways than we have ever felt for a long, long time. The South African freedom song that I was reminded of this week, as I thought of this story, freedom is coming. They would sing it when they were under the confines of apartheid. Go something like this. Freedom, oh freedom, Yes, freedom, freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. It goes on and on. It reminds us that we will be free, that we worship a God of freedom. But notice what has to happen in order for Lazarus to be free. Jesus reminds the gathered, the sisters and the friends, unwrap him and let him go. Lazarus will not realize freedom alone. He can't do it by himself. He needs help to be set free. Beyond the stay-at-home orders and the restrictions that are placed on each one of us, I wonder how you're feeling bound today. I wonder what makes you feel like you are not free, and wondering when that will come. If you're in a place of position and privilege, and maybe not so bound, I wonder how you might help those who need to be loosened up a little bit and set forth, set free. It can be as simple as a phone call, a card, a note, a prayer, a song. What will help you and what will help the other realize that freedom which is coming? So, Kevala Johanna, I want to encourage you today, be in touch with one another. Don't let anyone feel like they are isolated. Live aloha with each one so that we may help peel off the layers that are binding us, and we may feel freedom from the tomb of our home, set free to know the grace and gifts of one another. You see, this time can really work damage on us. It can really harm us. Fear has a way of seeping deeply into our DNA. But as we reach out to one another, we can hear those words of Jesus once again. Come out. Unwrap him. Let him loose. Set him free. I ask you to bow with me now in prayer as we seek that grace and that freedom. Let us pray. Holy God of our lives, God who knows our fears, knows our anger, knows our tears, we seek your grace to be set free so that we might help others receive that same gift. Amen. As we near the close of our service, I want to spend some time in prayer. For those that have been sending me requests, please continue to do that. You can send your requests to my email directly or to the church. My email is slandis1955@gmail.com. slandis1955@gmail.com. Or just email them directly to the church and Andrea will get them to me. We also want to remind you that this is a way of offering yourself, not only your prayer requests, but your tithes and gifts. Please feel free and remember the church at this time that while we're still separated, we need to meet our expenses on a regular basis. So continue to offer as you have been in the past. That will help us tremendously. Our prayers today that I have been given for requests include Fred and Judy Pascoe as they continue to grieve the death of their nephew, Garrett Chow. For Buzz Frankenal as he prepares for surgery that will come up in a few weeks. For for Scott Rollins, who continues in illness at his home, for Fred Bell, who has gone through triple bypass surgery and is recuperating quite nicely. I had the chance to talk with him by phone the other day. For Paul Vedamuthu, the father of Andrew, now in India, as India has become one of the hotspots of the coronavirus, prayers for the family. And for all those who are affected and are dealing with this virus on a more direct basis than many of us are, please continue to hold them in prayer. All treatment professionals, government leaders, those acting on our behalf, we want to pray for Stephanie Bethea and a choir, members of the community in Skagit, Washington, and their pastor Jim, for the difficulties that they're facing. For David Albright, son of Richard, who had back surgery on Thursday, and will continue to have another one on Monday. From Carol Thompson, prayers for her mother Olive, who is 99 years and living alone in a nursing home. She cannot visit her at this time, and nor can anyone. I want to say also that my son, Derek, is a nursing home administrator and dealing with that phenomenon on a regular basis. So for all who are in institutions right now, our prayers during this time of isolation. I want to pray for all my clergy colleagues as well, who are ministering in very unique and different ways to their respective ohanas at this time. Prayers for their strength, for their creativity, and for their persistence and tenacity during this time. Prayer for a friend who is undergoing discernment on whether or not to accept a position in ministry. And finally, a prayer of gratitude. We have to offer those as well. For all those who have been reaching out to the church in a variety of ways, through phone calls, the leaders of your church have been amazing in making some very hard decisions and supporting me in my decisions. I appreciate that so much. For our congregation who are reaching out to our kupuna, for all who gather virtually, and those who will see this service later today, may we be in prayer for each one. Please join me now. Holy God, these and so many others are on our minds today. We seek prayers for our planet, our globe, because no one is spared from this disease that has affected our entire world. We pray for answers, not answers to questions of where it came from, but answers to how to solve this problem, praying for all those who are battling the disease. Pray for those whose loved ones are in isolation. Pray for those who are grieving. We pray for those also who can't celebrate important milestones in their life because of our separation. And we pray for our church. Thank you for it. These blessed people who have gathered so many times in the past and now are learning to be the church in a whole new way. Guide us and keep us and direct our paths, that we may be faithful and wise, with hearts wide open, in care and love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to put your hands over your heart, or in a prayer position, or in a heart shape, or simply open, as we bless one another with these words of parting. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all God's children. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Imaoku kaloku maikai, o kahaku, o Jesu Christo. Me ke aloha, o ke akua. A me kalauna puana. A kauhane hemolele, me ako apau. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.